Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm David Watts Barton. Until this year, the cultural free-for-all known as Burning Man had no problem accommodating the increasing thousands of people coming from around the world. But that changed with a bang this year when limits on available tickets created a scarcity and drove up the price and availability of tickets to the point that some long-time attendees may not be able to be there. Here to talk about what went wrong and how it might be fixed is Marion Goodell, a founding board member of Burning Man Board of Directors, and she's on the phone from San Francisco. Welcome to Insight.
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
It's been an interesting couple of weeks.
Considering the circumstances, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I should preface this by full disclosure. I've attended Burning Man for the last 12 years. I love it. And I did not get a ticket in the lottery this year. But for people who don't know much about Burning Man, what happened and why has this created so much anger and angst in the community?
Well, that's two questions. What happened and why did it create such anger? The what happened actually has sort of a lot of different parts to it in most people's minds. Mm-hmm. Certainly the biggest what happened is that more people are interested in attending Burning Man than we've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And that combined with a ticket process, which either lottery or what we call on sale, which is a first come, first serve, which is the way we did in the past. Either those two processes are not able to accommodate taking care of the old school, old timers, even the returning folks that set up part of the community in the camps. Mm-hmm. And so why are they so upset would be that the system left people behind. I kind of call it the Swiss cheese effect. We've sort of gutted the social infrastructure. Mm-hmm. By having tickets only out by the lottery.
Now, why is Burning Man different in terms of ticket sales from other events? I mean, it's a wide open desert. There's a lot of space out there. Why is there a limit on the tickets?
Well, really, there are always infrastructure concerns, and no matter how big that desert is. In the past, we used to think it was toilets, but our vendor was bought by a national firm, so the toilet situation stopped being a concern. But last year, people actually experienced 9-hour waits when they left on Monday, mm-hmm. Which was the first time we'd ever seen it that high. 3 and 4 hours had happened before, but 8, 9, and 10 hours, how far they got in that time period, it was just basically too long for them, and it was really frustrating. And that's a sign that the exodus, the number of people going out, sort of the water out through the straw, is too high. Mm-hmm. We have thought of a bunch of different ways to manage that and reduce that time, and we'll be working on putting that into effect this year. But we're not convinced we can bring it down easily to 3 or 4 hours. And so we need to manage population at the same time.
And what is the population, or what was the population last year, and how many ticket requests did you get this year?
The population last year was just over 53,000. We were trying to stay in that neighborhood, and we accomplished that. We are working on a 5-year permit with the Bureau of Land Management. Mm-hmm. And right now we have an environmental assessment, a draft environmental assessment in front of us. Where we are asking for an increase of that amount, but we'll have to see what that looks like with them and what their comfort level is with it, mm-hmm. And you know what the variance is for keeping to the amount that they're happiest with. Population, people come and they go, we'll have obviously in the 50,000 something or other range. Number of requests is the other part of your question.
Yeah.
Lots and lots. More than 2 times the amount of what we expected.
Wow.
What did you
expect?
Well, I can tell you in a more global way what we expected. In the past, when we just sold tickets in January and the different levels would sort of sell out in a couple of days, mm-hmm. we would sell about 40,000 tickets in maybe a week's time. And it would take us all the way through the rest of the summer to hit our maximum. So we used that gauge and the fact that we cut off tickets in August last year, mm-hmm. and we did our own math and thought, well, we won't see double. We won't see 80,000, tickets requested. Mm-hmm. But we did see something upwards in that amount. Mm-hmm. That meant that the interest, now there's people and numbers of tickets, since we didn't do one per person, the number of people and the number of tickets are also two different numbers. But it basically means the interest was doubled what we thought it would be, and beyond it. Again, there's a lot of different numbers and a lot of different variables, because there was also a winter sale that happened in December.
Right.
And then there's also other ticket opportunities coming up.
I'm speaking
but
with,
it was way higher than we thought it would be.
I'm speaking with Marion Goodell of the Burning Man organization about this year's event. The boogeyman in all this, it seems to be, when you look at online and talk to people, was scalpers. That people are saying that scalpers went in because there was a limit on tickets. There was an automatic sort of black market possibility in there. How big a problem in this lottery were scalpers?
Well, it's hard to tell at this moment if you don't know the identity of everybody who is or isn't a scalper. We did scrub the lists before we ran, between the closing of the registration and the point at which we ran the random selection. We did scrub the lists. There were IP addresses pulled off, some email addresses that were obviously for StubHub and some other companies. I don't know how many of those were pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that they were successful in identifying some people from last year. And things like that, some company IP addresses that they'd had in the servers. There was some automatic, last year when we did the on sale, where you just sort of get into a queue and you sort of hit return and you wait.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw a lot of scamming. We saw repeated IP addresses that were known to be not just an IP address like for a company like Google, but known to be related to StubHub. And so we deleted those in 2011. And again, in 2012, we saw very similar exact IP addresses come up again.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to grab those out of registration. We've kept an eye on what's currently on sale, which I'm told should not be a gauge of what's out there. But it looks like there aren't even 100 tickets or in the range of 100 tickets between StubHub and another company site. And 100 tickets is, I don't know, 0.8%, something like that.
Right. I noticed that too, because I looked around and I didn't see that many tickets for sale yet. Does that mean that they got two people who are going to use them, and that scalpers were maybe not as big a problem as was thought?
We actually don't believe scalpers are as big a problem. However, we just don't know what that number is, because it's so disheartening for everybody to feel like, particularly what the most interesting statistic is, to have people in camps reveal what it is their friends and their campmates and their teammates, how many tickets people did or didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most revealing. And it looks like between 25 and 30-some percent. So in some of the medium-sized to big camps, they're doing internal surveys, and they're finding out, best-case scenario, some are near 40%, but that's really unusual. It's pretty much 30% across the board, 29%, 25%. So that means 75% of the old-timers didn't get tickets. Now, you can't mix apples and oranges and kiwis in this, but people have tickets out there, and we know that they're slowly admitting they have tickets, and we know that newbies have tickets, and we know international people have tickets,
mm-hmm.
and we know the demand was much, much higher than either we expected or other burners expected. So I don't know what we're going to find out as time goes on, but we have been meeting every single day. We have been structuring some solutions short-term. All of our short-term solutions can be manifested in the longer term. That's one of the reasons why we've been very, very careful. And we are continuing to create some publicity and answers to everybody's questions. We'll have something come out at the end of today or tomorrow morning.
Okay. And we should clarify that when we're talking about camps, these are the camps that build enormous camps, some of which
Absolutely.
Cost tens of thousands of dollars and have hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yes.
And they are a good degree of the infrastructure of Burning Man. So if those people aren't able to come, then a lot of the city itself doesn't exist.
Yes, it's social infrastructure. We're different from most events that worry about population and scalping when they're taking care of their ticket process. We have a social infrastructure, and our social infrastructure is part of what makes it so playful and so fun. It's sort of the equivalent of sort of walking downtown at night, and if the stores don't have enough employees to run them, they can't open up. And in our case, if the camps don't have enough friends and family and infrastructure to be there, to turn on the lights, to have fun in Thunderdome, to harness people up, then they can't function, like
mm-hmm.
literally can't function.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are other people out there that could fill in the void, but many of these camps are long-term, they're cultural, they're literally friends and family in some cases. And it's not as simple as just saying, oh, well, we're just going to invite in the new person that we've never met before who's coming in from England.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of planning. Most of these groups started meeting at the beginning of the year. There are art cars that have engineers and drivers and crew members that have been working for several years and walk beside the cars. I mean, we're looking beyond theme camps. I should point that out too, David. We know that there are teams of people that bring art out every year, not just the art that we help fund, but the art that just comes out because that's what they love to do. Mm-hmm. We have volunteer leadership. So there are plenty of volunteers that don't get a free ticket. We actually consider Burning Man a participatory event. So everybody there is volunteering and participating and putting themselves into it. So there are people that volunteer in our infrastructure that buy their own ticket. And there's leaders that don't have tickets. So there's a lot of places where the infrastructure and the fabric and the core is vacant and doesn't have a ticket.
I'm speaking with Marion Goodell of the Burning Man organization. There are still 10,000 tickets that have not been released. They're supposed to be released on March 28th. Do you know how you're going to change that? There's rumors that you're going to distribute them to specific people in the theme camps. How's that going to work? Because there's still a lot of angst around that as well.
Well, we have been taking a look at the tickets, what's available in our entire allotment of tickets, and examining whether they're even available and what the effect on the community would be to change their expectations of the on sale and what would happen if we changed it, and what are we going to solve if we change it, and what new problems will come up if we change it. Mm-hmm. And we haven't finalized any decisions at this point. It's taking some time to actually reach out, talk to people in different groups that are affected by this. We're reading all of the blogs and all the comments and all the blogs on the internet, and listening to what the various sort of anecdotal responses are. That rumor has been out for a couple of days, and it's interesting. I saw that suggestion show up at the end of last week, and it's been something that obviously is under consideration, like a lot of things are, but it's really fascinating, and it's really quite heartening to be in the middle of this and see suggestions from participants that are actually things that we're in the middle of considering, because then as they talk their way through it, we're also talking our way through things. It's sort of like we're all in the middle of a massive brainstorming right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you worry that Burning Man has gotten too big? There's about too much about money and access and who gets what. I guess, has Burning Man jumped the shark?
Oh, I don't think Burning Man's jumped the shark. Burning Man is more than just Black Rock City in Nevada. Burning Man really is a way of life, a way of looking at yourself, a way of interacting with others, a way of communicating in the world. Mm-hmm. Larry had the theme, Fertility 2.0, and if you read the theme, it is all about going out into the world and sort of like bees and fertilizing the pollen of the connectivity that comes from Burning Man. And he thought of that before, you know, the ticket situation. He actually initially thought of it before we even had the sellout. And so, you know, it's these things happen as they happen. We knew that a day would come where the magic of what happens in the desert would have a capacity. How we then manage to keep the fabric and the excitement of the event intact is a very cautious and careful question we're engaged in right now. We haven't jumped the shark in the traditional sense. I think we're a very engaging culture, and we're just going to have to create that spark beyond the desert, and we're going to have to create it and have brighter fires elsewhere.
All right. Well, good luck with your next few weeks. And we should say Burning
Thanks,
Man actually
David.
Takes place at the week before Labor Day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
For anyone curious about Burning Man, we do have a few links and some videos on our webpage, capradio.org/insight, and that will give you some idea of what we're talking about. And you're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. We'll be right back.